Who says that I have to die? I have to go to Kripal's home. This is Sanchis Bachan, Kone Kahe Me Mara Janahe, page 273. And there's a little note here that says, the first verse is sung at the beginning and the end, and the Sangha repeats each verse without a chorus. Slowly, slowly, I have to cross this long and wide ocean. Stupid death, which has come in the way of life, has to die. In the map of life, the color of Sawan has to be filled. I have enjoyed a long life. I don't have to live. I have to go home. The talk of Kripal will happen, and as much meditation on Nam as is supposed to happen will happen. No one should stop my way. I have to go. Really, I have to go. Send me, happily send me. I have to go to my own home. Whenever Ajab will wish, he will empty this cage. Who says that I have to die? I have to go to Kripal's home.
Nahe Meta Kripala Gara Janahe Kona Kahime Mara Janahe Meta Kripala Gara Janahe Lama Chyoda Sahagara Jeda Holy, Holy Tara Janahe Lama Chyoda Sahagara Jeda Holy, holy, tara janahe. Jivana de ravicha ayi mohta mohine mara janahe. Jivana de ravicha ayi mohta mohine mara janahe. Jivana de Nakasha andara rahanga sawanada para janahe jivana de nakasha andara Rahanga Sawanada Bara Janahe Vadi Sahari Umara Bhogi Rehne Nahi Gara Janahe Vadi Sahari Umara Bhogi Rehne Nahi Gara Janahe Kripala Di Charcha Honi Jajna Nama japa janahe kirpala di charcha honi he ja jinanama japa janahe koi mehra rana roke janahe sacha mucha janahe koi mehra rana roke janahe sacha mucha janahe toro mehenu hasake ro toro apanehi me gara janahe toro menu hasake toro apani he me gara janahe jada viche vega ajalba kali pinjara kara janahe chada vicha vega ajalba kali pinjara kara janahe kona kahime marjanahe meta kirpala gara janahe kona kahime marjanahe metta kirpala gara janahe.
Who says that I have to die? I have to go to Kirpal's home. And a brief announcement. After lunch last Sunday, a volunteer crew worked through the afternoon to remove the hall carpet. Thank you so much for the many who helped with this and the follow-up cleaning. And going forward, we will be having Sunday satsangs as usual, but there's more work to do in the hall. So this coming week, we'll continue using the big house for meditations and daily satsangs at the regular times. Also, for anyone who is in the hall today, we would appreciate if you would fill out a second survey about your experience of the air quality and acoustics. Please get one at the big house as you leave. And finally, we received news this week that two of our dear elders have left the body. Charles Thibodeau on Tuesday, and Jenny Peterson on Friday. Their families will publish the news of any services when those decisions are made. Our first reading is what Russell has called one of Master Kripal's foundation documents or writings. For years we called it Circular 17. It was published finally as The Psychology of Mysticism. This was first issued in August of 1961. So Master says, when one undertakes to reach a certain goal in any field of human activity, it is necessary to take stock of one's progress from time to time. It is only through such stock-taking that one can become conscious of one's shortcomings and errors, eradicate and uproot them, and plan out future progress. Having put our shoulders to the wheel of the great master's cause, it is necessary that we should, in like manner, review our activity and achievement from time to time. Without such self-analysis and self-criticism, no real advancement is possible. And it was to encourage this practice and make it a daily habit that, in the case of individual initiates, I insisted and continue to insist that they maintain a daily record of their thoughts, words, and deeds, and of the period of meditation. What is necessary for us as individual initiates is even more necessary for us as members of a large movement. Reviewing the work done in the past few years, there is much, I find, for which we may be grateful. Many have shown remarkable capacity for selfless service. Others have made commendable progress on the inner path. Nevertheless, while noting this with pleasure, I cannot help observing the growth of tendencies which must be a matter of concern for all of us. In spite of repeated exhortations and persuasions, I find growing and springing up amidst us the weeds of discord and disharmony. Competition seems to have taken the place of cooperation, rivalry that of love, and distrust that of trust and good faith. And I'll mention here, I think many of us know that at this time in 1961, there actually was some contention among different groups in different areas and the different group leaders, and Master worked hard to straighten them out. So, and he did. It ended up that by the time he came on the tour in 1963, pretty much love had washed away all of the difficulties. So continuing, Master says, the emergence of such fissiparous tendencies has marked the beginning of the decline of any movement, any great movement. Unless checked, they multiply and lead ultimately to serious rifts and divisions. The original goal is completely forgotten in the heat of controversy and debate, and the purpose we set out to achieve lies wholly neglected. If we are to escape this fate, we must zealously watch ourselves and rid ourselves of any undesirable traits that may be imperceptibly developing in us. Why such disharmony should keep up is not difficult to tell. The master cannot be present in his physical person everywhere and at all times. His mission must be carried on with the assistance of his disciples. These disciples are individuals inspired by spiritual longings who have been put on the road, but who have not necessarily reached the goal. The ultimate end is not easy to attain, and very few indeed reach it within this lifetime. The Master's cause must therefore be carried on with the aid of men and women who, in most cases, are yet on the path and have not attained perfection. Their vision is individual, not universal, and the viewpoint from which they see and judge is limited by the degree of spiritual development attained by them. When they are entrusted with any responsibility, it is inevitable that they should discharge it within the terms of their own vision and insight. And when, in discharging this responsibility, they have to collaborate with others like themselves, others whose viewpoint is equally individual and distinct, then the roots of discord begin. So long as they work directly under the guidance of the Master, all is well. But the moment that they have also to work in collaborating and cooperating, controversy begins. They should understand that they are all laborers in the field of the Master, working for promoting the holy cause of leading the seekers to the goal of life. The man who could see could resolve at a touch the contradictory statements regarding an elephant made by the proverbial six blind men. But left to themselves, they could only wrangle and debate. Each considered that he was right and the others were wrong, and each distrusted what the others had to say. If six men lacking full vision could not agree about the nature of so limited and well-defined an object as an elephant, it is not surprising that those with limited vision should be unable to harmonize completely on so vast and unlimited a subject as spirituality. And yet, while it is natural for those who lack full vision not to agree fully on such matters, we must not allow this limitation to create division and dissension. For if we fail to find a remedy, we will ultimately have to sacrifice the cause which has brought us together. And what a great loss that would be. There is only one remedy for all such discord, and that is love. He who has not mastered its secret can never hope to be received in the court of the Lord. It is the beginning and the end of spirituality. He who understands love in its true nature and who lives and moves by its light shall, surely as two added to two makes four, attain the Lord. Christ said, "Love, and all things shall be added unto thee." And Guru Gobind Singh, "Listen, for I give you the very essence of truth. Those who have loved have reached the Lord." Love knows selfless service and sacrifice and self-surrender. Let no one interested in spiritual advancement perform service for the sake of appreciation. Selfless service is a great reward in itself. It even sacrifices one's personal interests for the cause one has sincerely taken up. What is this love of which all mystics, Eastern and Western, have spoken so insistently? Is it like the love of the earth that we know? If you study the bonds of earthly love, you will find that at some point or another, a trace of self-assertion is present in every case. Parent and child, friend and friend, man and wife, each is involved in a more or less strong drive for possession. It is a love that can often rise to great heights of self-sacrifice, and yet it is a love that is not wholly selfless. But the love of which the mystics speak is a love that must be completely purified of the self. If one has not attained complete purification in this respect, one's love is still not perfect and not truly acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. And so the love of mystics is one in which one completely and unreservedly surrenders oneself to one's love. The seeker who, having found a true master, has developed such absolute love for him, steadily purifies himself of all imperfections and makes himself a fit recipient of divine grace. You may well ask why there is this insistent stress on complete self-surrender on the mystic path. The answer is simple. Without this absolute surrender of the last vestiges of ego and selfhood, and without such complete absorption in the object of one's love, one cannot attain that unwavering concentration of all one's faculties, which is the prerequisite for all inner progress. Absolute love and self-surrender are only other aspects of complete and flawless concentration. The moment the self enters into the picture and the question of I-ness arises, the single-pointedness of concentration is dissipated and inner advancement is made impossible. Besides, the goal of the spiritual aspirant lies far beyond the limits of individuality. His goal is union with the Absolute, and such union must necessarily be a denial of the limits that separate us from each other. He who cannot rise above the ego, the faculty which creates these very limits, cannot hope to attain to that station which is the denial of all individuality and a realization of the oneness of all life. Hence it is that mystics of all traditions have been untiring in their stress of the need for absolute self-surrender. It was this cross of sacrifice of the self, the ego, of which Jesus spoke when he exhorted his disciples to bear their cross daily. For in every little act, word, or deed, the ego is seeking to dominate us, and if the seeker is to triumph over it, he must be prepared to crucify it every moment. To achieve this degree of self-surrender, one must not look up to the deity in its abstract form, but in its human form as the master. For how else is one to know God's will directly in order to surrender oneself to it? What one may take as an intuition inspired by the divine may really be one's own self speaking in disguise, and surrender to such seeming intentions may be really surrender to the self, the ego. However, if one has found a true master who is attuned to the Lord and is his mouthpiece and obeys him in all things completely and absolutely, he will surely destroy the hydra-headed serpent of the ego and reach his heavenly home one day. There will be moments in the course of such love when one, judging from one's own limited understanding, doubts the validity of the master's instructions. But such moments are only tests to make our self-surrender more complete and more secure. And he who passes through these tests successfully will one day radiate with the glory of God. Such love and self-surrender to the will of the Lord, embodied in the Master, has been the keystone of the teachings of all mystics, and especially so of Sant Mat. Your main task as disciples, as initiates, is to cultivate these qualities to the very utmost and leave the rest to the Master. There will, of course, be moments of doubt and questioning, but if you can pass through them with your love and your faith unscathed, you will find the spiritual road within steadily unfolding itself before you, and all things being added unto you. The path is certainly not easy, but for one who has made such love the cornerstone of his life. Nothing could be easier or more certain. Jesus never promised the peace and comfort with which the world is familiar. It was the cross that he offered. We have to suffer to reshape ourselves, to destroy the old and forge the new. We have to face the ridicule of our fellows and the organized opposition of orthodox institutions. But if we have anchored ourselves in such a love of complete self-surrender, nothing can disturb the peace of our minds or distract the spiritual harmony that is ours. Initially, perhaps, it is easier in the East to take to the mystic path than it is in the West. There is, in India, for example, a long-standing tradition of seeking and following a living master, a tradition that is foreign to those to whom religion has been taught in terms of a closed revelation. Nevertheless, this initial advantage is not as great as it might at first appear. For the essential advantage in the field of spirituality is to be found not without, but within. It lies not in the absence of outer opposition, but in one's inner capacity for complete self-surrender and love. And outward obstacles may, in fact, act as tests and stimuli for the development of this capacity. This ability to conquer the ego and to submit oneself to the higher will is as rare in the East as it is in the West. And wherever it can be found, there you shall observe the true grand mark of spirituality. It is this capacity that you must cultivate and develop if you really wish to make substantial progress in the spiritual field. I repeat that the path is not easy. You must crucify your ego and lay your selfhood at the altar of love for your master. Rome was not built in a day, and the true abode of the Lord is not to be attained with a few weeks' labor. Most seekers want quick results. They want miracles and sudden transformations. But the seed generates rapidly only in thin soil and then withers away. The seed that must grow into the life-giving tree must grow more slowly. The science of spirituality, as it has been taught by all masters and as it has been given to you, is a perfect science. Its truth has been demonstrated by some initial experience, and the rest depends on your effort. The divine grace is ever ready to pour itself into the vessel, but the vessel must first be ready. The power to perform miracles is not very difficult to acquire, but it is not to be confused with true spirituality, which must be paid for with complete self-transformation and self-surrender. This, then, is the task before you. If you aspire for spiritual salvation, then do not lose a moment in seeking to reform yourselves. Man-making is the most difficult part of spirituality. And if you have perfected yourself in that field, then God-realization is not difficult. Let your love for the Master be absolute and your obedience to his wishes uncompromising. Work for his cause to the best of your abilities, but do not let the individuality of your limited vision inculcate feelings of opposition and resentment for your fellows. So long as one has not attained universal consciousness, differences of opinion are bound to exist. But if one has understood their cause, one will not allow them to disturb one's peace of mind. Whatever the outer opposition, whatever the opinions of others, if one has surrendered oneself completely to one's love, then nothing can ever disturb one's equanimity or obstruct one's spiritual course. He who is upset by what others have to say is without question one who is still controlled by the ego and has yet to conquer his self. He has yet to learn the rudiments of spirituality. Let me, therefore, command you as a father, exhort you as a teacher, persuade you as a friend, to turn to the reformation and conquest of the self if you seek to progress on the inner path. Try to help others and do the best for them, but be not concerned with the fruits of what you do. That is something you must leave to the Master. Make your love for him so complete that, beholding his hand in everything, you rise above all feelings of enmity, rivalry, and resentment. See him present in all, and remember that he is always with you, ready to assist whenever you turn your thoughts to him. And above all, do not forget that he is not to be won by words, but by deeds. If you love me, follow my commandments. If you can do this, if you can conquer the self and surrender it at the feet of the Master, if you can learn to see him working through all things, if you can accept the fact of your own limited vision, if you can undertake a ceaseless and zealous watch over your thoughts and deeds, weeding out all evils and imperfections, then you shall not only win salvation yourselves, but enable others to do likewise. Your example shall shine like a torch in the darkness, and men, even those who may first oppose you, will turn to you for guidance and help. You will find a new sense of peace surging through you, a peace that does not depend on the absence of outer disturbances, but is an inner state of mind that stands unshaken even in the most tempestuous situations. And this same quality shall enter not only your individual lives, but the larger life of the great spiritual movement of which you are a part. Instead of being disrupted and divided, it shall proceed single and purposeful towards its goal. No true master has ever been interested in attracting large numbers to himself, and quantity has never been my aim. It is quality that counts, and I would rather have a handful of disciples, nay, even one, who can sacrifice his ego on the spiritual altar and learn to live by love, than millions who understand not the value and meaning of these virtues. I have suggested this before, and I emphasize this again, that a seeker should be studied more carefully and his or her background learned more before being recommended for initiation. If, after understanding the basic principles of the science, he is willing to undertake this complete remolding of himself that its practice requires, then and then alone can he become a fit recipient of initiation. And how much more is this need for self-transformation to be stressed in the case of group leaders and representatives? They are the foundations of the movement. And if the foundations are weak, then how shall the superstructure stand firmly? Their responsibility is much greater, and their effort must be much greater than that of the ordinary initiate. if they really loved me more than their little selves, if they only knew how deeply I suffer when I see them divided and wrangling, they would never have permitted matters to come to such a pass. I'm not happy to say this, but I am left no choice. The chief element that results in disharmony between the representatives and group leaders and other initiates can also be traced to the word distrust, or some sort of fear that some of them have acquired certain powers, namely mind reading or seeing or listening in on others at a distance, or psychic dominance over others, etc., which they might misuse. If anyone misuses such powers, those are taken away by the master immediately. Moreover, they are armed with the repetition of five names, by which they have no cause to fear anyone. So take it as an exhortation. Take it as a command. But from this day, from this very moment, make love and self-surrender. And the two, as I have already said, are really one. Make them the cornerstones of your life. Do this, and you will find your life becoming a daily blessing. I am always with you, waiting for you to turn away from yourselves and towards me. Let not the light that has been planted in you become darkness, but let it flame forth into a blaze that shall illumine the world. The path is straight and narrow and difficult, very difficult and exacting. But for one who is truly willing, every help is promised, and he can attain the goal in this very life, a goal that sets all other goals to shame. For beside it, there are no goals at all, but empty baubles and toys, at best, halfway houses. I know the initiates abroad are anxious to see me in person, and I also long to be amidst them. You can well imagine how happy and jolly a father would feel amidst his sons and daughters, who are all loving and amicable. I would therefore suggest that by the time I make a trip to America, all initiates, including leaders and representatives, make a special effort to live a pure, Christly, and master-like life as is possible, so that all initiates will stand out amongst other men and women, shining with love in full bloom and drenched in the sweet remembrance of the Lord. And this is a talk that Santji gave at the underground room in 16 PS, the room that he made for following Master Kripal's command to him to go into full-time meditation, 24-hour-a-day meditation. So he dug a room underground and followed the instructions. He did what he was told to do. So, this is a talk to the initiates who were there in one of the groups visiting in February of 1983. So Sanchi says, "First of all, I would like to thank my Supreme Father Kripal, who cooled down this heated soul which was writhing in pain. I was blind. I was burning like anything. It was not within my reach to search for him or to find him. It was all his grace that he came here so far from Delhi. He searched for me, and he cooled down the heated heart which was burning in this desert. If there is any wall between us and God, that is the wall of mind. Mind always stands between us and him. Kabir Sahib says, I thought that my mind had died, but even after dying, it has become a ghost, and it is bothering me even after its death. Such is my mind. And Tulsi Sahib has also said, O Tulsi, to fight in the battlefield is the work of a day or two, but in this path, one has to fight with his mind every day without any weapons. Ever since our soul got separated from Almighty God, she has been getting the burden of many difficulties and many painful karmas. Now, we cannot do anything by our own efforts unless that human pole within whom God Almighty has manifested, unless such a human being, such a pole, showers his grace on us. We cannot do anything by our own efforts. Saints love all the souls. They do not belong to any particular religion or community. They love everyone in this world. They know that underneath the dirt, underneath the sway of the mind, there is a pure soul, and they are sure about their skill. They know that one day they will be able to take this pure soul out from underneath the dirt of the mind. As the washerman is competent and he's proud of his own skill, he knows that he will be able to clean the dirty clothes. In the same way, the saints know that from within, the person in whom they will keep the nam, one day, definitely, they will be able to bring out that pure soul. Supreme Father Kripal did a lot of meditation, and he chose as his meditation center the bank of the river Ravi. Sometimes he would stand in the water of the river and do the meditation so that sleep would not bother him. There's a great struggle going on between sleep and meditation. Sleep says, I will keep you in the darkness. And the Shabad says, come with me and I will take you to the radiance. I will show you the radiant light. So we have to choose our path. We have to choose where we want to go, whether we want to go to the sleep or whether we want to go and see the radiance. In the past 10 days of this group visit, or whenever I have gone on tours, whatever I have spoken, I've not said anything from hearsay. And neither have I read any book or scriptures, nor have I said words from other people's comments. Whatever I have said is according to my own experience, because I have spent a practical life. Whatever I have said up until now has been from my own practical experience. I have said how, withdrawing the consciousness from all the different parts of the body, we have to bring it to the eye center, and how we can reach the Sahansdal Kanwal, the first plane. And beyond that, still, there are four more planes which the meditator has to reach before he gets to the real home. Satguru has manifested the nam within him, and Satguru is the only one who has seen the nam. Those who have faith in the master and those who catch the Satguru, only they are taken to the nam by the master. Those who say that just by talking and gossiping they will be able to lift their inner veil, they will be able to go within, their mind is playing a trick on them. Because we can lift our veil, we can go in the within only by doing the meditation. Those who do the meditation, only they reach the feet of the master, and only they are taken in the within by the master. Many dear ones ask me how I became successful, and I have only one answer to tell them, which I have done in my own life. I tell them that I obeyed the commandments of my master. This is the only thing which I have done in my life. I made this underground room with the order of master, and I did the meditation here as per his orders, because he had told me that I was not supposed to come out. Whenever he would need, he would come to see me. I have said this very openly, that if you call any sleeping person, he will listen to your voice, and he will at once get up. So if you will call the master, who is never sleeping, his consciousness is always awake, he is always awake in our sleep, if you will call him, and if you will cry for his help, since he does not sleep and he's always awake, he will also come to help you. In fact, he is eager to hear the voice of the dear ones. In my life, I did not run after the tastes. Whatever the Mahatmas told me to do, I did that. In the beginning, it is very difficult to fight with sleep. But later on, when one fights with it and becomes successful, it becomes very difficult to sleep. I spent most of the time in my life sitting, meditating underground, and I never had any comfortable cushions or pillows beneath me. The place which you will see now, you will find that there was no question of my sleeping in this small place. Always I have said this, that before you go to any Mahatma, first read his life story and find out whether in his life he has done any meditation, whether he has spent 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years of his life in meditation or not. You will not find any saint in this world who became a saint without doing any meditation. And you will not come across any incident in this world in which anyone has gained anything without working hard for it. You may read the life story of the great saints. Guru Nanak, Kabir, Swamiji Maharaj, Baba Jamal Singh, all the past masters. And you will find that all the masters who came into this world did a lot of meditation. The path of devotion is not for the cowards. It is for people who are brave, because one has to deal with the five dacoits, who are very obstinate. And only the brave one who uses his master as a shield to protect himself from all these five dacoits can win in this path. And what is the shield of the master? The meditation. The daily bhajan and simran, which we do, is the shield of the master. Master Kripal Singh Ji used to say that any learned person can explain the theory to you. He can do it in a very good way. And the books are the creation of the mind and intellect. But as far as giving the nam-initiation is concerned, it is the responsibility which one takes of taking the soul back to the real home. The saints and Mahatmas are the abode of grace, and they always shower their grace on us. But it all depends upon our receptivity. We get according to our receptacle. It all depends on how receptive we are to them. Otherwise, the saints are always gracious to everyone. I have said this before also, that this is the place where I did not come down for 3 days. I was sitting in meditation, and the only Sevadar, who I used to have with me here to take care of me, had lost the hope that I would ever come back into my consciousness. He thought that I was dead. But gracious Master came here, and he wanted to go down. At that time, the land surrounding this place was not in good shape. There were many ditches and like that. So the Sevadar told the master, you can't go down there because it's not a good place. It'll be difficult for you to go there. But the master replied, where Ajab can go, I can also go there. And there's a asterisk and a footnote here. The editor, I guess, says, the words down and up refer to different things in different parts of this account. The meditation place, which we refer to as the underground room, was later incorporated into one corner of Sant Bani Ashram in Village 16 PS. But originally, it would have been just a small adobe building about a mile and a half from the nearest habitation. So the people talking to Master Kripal might be saying, oh, you can't go down, meaning down to the far end of the field, because he would have to walk a long way over rough terrain. There are stories that Master Kripal asked that Sevadar to break open the door, which was shut from inside. And then the master walked down the stairs into the actual underground room, and with his attention brought Santji's soul down or back into the body from the inner planes. So back to Santji's talk. So graciously, Master went down and he brought me up out of the underground room. In this place, with his attention, he brought my soul down and he asked me if I was having any difficulty or if I needed or wanted anything. And I said, no, I don't want anything except you. I mean to say this, that if you are sitting in the remembrance of the Master, he is not unjust. If you are doing his work, he is always concerned for you. He always takes care of you. If you are sitting in his remembrance, he also performs his duty. By seeing or visiting such places, we get the encouragement that on this physical level, if we withdraw our consciousness from outside and concentrate and sit in the remembrance of God, God also opens his door to us. And we can do this in this physical body. I hope that you will carry this encouragement from here to make your lives pure and to have faith in the Master. Master Sawan Singh used to say, if you cannot meditate, at least have faith in the Master and maintain the love with him. Because if you will have faith in him and if you will maintain your love with the Master, where will you go at the time of your death? You will certainly go to the place where the Master goes. And where does the Master go? He always goes to the Almighty Lord. So if you will maintain love with him, and if you will have faith in him, you will also go to God. And one more short reading. This is a poem of Kabir. He says, O Sadhu, the simple union is the best. Since the day when I met with my Lord, there's been no end to the sport of our love. I shut not my eyes, I close not my ears, I do not mortify my body. I see with eyes open and I smile, and behold his beauty everywhere. I utter his name, and whatever I see, it reminds me of him. Whatever I do, it becomes his worship. The rising and the setting are one to me. All contradictions are solved. Wherever I go, I move round him. All I achieve is his service. When I lie down, I lie prostrate at his feet. He is the only adorable one to me. I have none other. My tongue has left off impure words. It sings his glory day and night. Whether I rise or sit down, I can never forget him, for the rhythm of his music beats in my ears. Kabir says, my heart is frenzied, and I disclose in my soul what is hidden. I am immersed in that one great bliss which transcends all pleasure and pain. And we're going to continue in a talk that Sanchi gave in South Africa in September of 1994. This satsang was given a title, The Keeper of the Treasure. And I think it may come near to the end, or it may come to the end before we're really done with the satsang. I might start another tape. We'll see how much there is left in this talk.
Tithe deh jat na jai sachrate se ubare dukhiye duje paaye
jo us ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਭਗਤੀ ਕਰਦੇ ਆ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਸਮਾ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਭਗਤੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦੇ ਗੇ ਆ ਪਿਆਰ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਉਹ ਦੁਖੀ ਆਏ ਦੁਖੀ ਚਲੇ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ
ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਡੂ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਦੇ ਬਿਕਮ ਵਨ ਵਿਦ ਹਿਮ ਦੇ ਅਬਜ਼ਰਵ ਥੈਮਸੈਲਵਸ ਇਨ ਗੋਡ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਡੂ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਦੇ ਕਮ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਸਫਰਿੰਗ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਲੀਵ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਸਫਰਿੰਗ
ਸਾਚਰਤੇ ਸੇ ਉਬਰੇ ਦੁਖੀਏ ਦੂਜੇ ਪਾਏ ਹਰ ਮੰਦਰ ਮੈਂ ਨਾਮ ਨਿਧਾਨ ਹੈ ਨਾ ਬੂਝੇ ਮੁਗਧ ਗਵਾਰ
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਸਭ ਖਜ਼ਾਨਿਆਂ ਦਾ ਮਾਲਕ ਜੋ ਨਾਮ ਹੈ ਮੈਂ ਜਿਸ ਮੰਦਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕਹਿਣਾ ਹੈ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੀ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਰੱਖਿਆ ਹੋਇਆ ਹੈ
ਨਾ ਹੀ ਲਵਿੰਗਲੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਨਾਮ ਇਜ਼ ਦੀ ਓਨਰ ਆਫ ਆਲ ਦਾ ਟ੍ਰੈਜਰਸ ਐਂਡ ਗੋਡ ਆਲ ਮਾਈਟੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਕੈਪਟ ਦਿਸ ਟ੍ਰੈਜਰ ਦਿਸ ਓਨਰ ਆਫ ਆਲ ਦਾ ਟ੍ਰੈਜਰਸ ਵਿਦ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਟੈਂਪਲ ਵਿਚ ਗੋਡ ਆਲ ਮਾਈਟੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਮੇਡ
ਆਪਦੇ ਕਹਿਣ ਦਾ ਭਾਵ ਇਤਨਾ ਹੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜਿਉਂ ਤਿਲਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਤੇਲ ਹੈ ਪੱਥਰ ਅੰਦਰ ਅਗਨੀ ਹੈ ਉਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਪਿਆਰਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਤੇਰੇ ਸਰੀਰ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਭਰਾਵਾ ਤੇ ਤੂੰ ਜਗਾਈ ਦਾ ਤਾਂ ਤੂੰ ਜਗਾ ਕੇ ਫਾਇਦਾ ਉਠਾ ਲੈ
ਹੀ ਮੀਨਸ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਜਸਟ ਲਾਈਕ ਦੈਰ ਇਜ਼ ਆਇਲ ਇਨ ਦੀ ਸੀਡਸ ਐਂਡ ਦੈਰ ਇਜ਼ ਫਾਇਰ ਇਨ ਦੀ ਸਟੋਨ ਇਨ ਦੀ ਸੇਮ ਵੇ ਯੂਰ ਬਿਲੋਵਡ ਵਨ ਇਜ਼ ਵਿਦਿਨ ਯੂਰ ਸੈਲਫ ਵਿਦਿਨ ਯੂਰ ਬਾਡੀ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਕੈਨ ਅਵੇਕ ਹਿਮ ਅਪ ਯੂ ਕੈਨ ਅਵੇਕ ਹਿਮ ਐਂਡ ਯੂ ਕੈਨ ਟੇਕ ਐਡਵਾਂਟੇਜ ਆਫ ਹਿਮ
ਹਰ ਮੰਦਰ ਮੈਂ ਨਾਮ ਨਿਧਾਨ ਹੈ ਨਾ ਬੂਝੇ ਮੁਗਧ ਗਵਾਰ ਗੁਰ ਪ੍ਰਸ਼ਾਦੀ ਹਰ ਰਾਖਿਆ ਔਰ ਧਾਰ ਗੁਰ ਕੀ ਬਾਣੀ ਗੁਰ ਤੇ ਜਾਤੀ ਜੇ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਰਤੇ ਰੰਗ ਲਾਏ ਪਵਿੱਤ ਪਾਵਨ ਸੇ ਜਨ ਨਿਰਮਲ ਹਰ ਕੈ ਨਾਮ ਸਮਾਏ
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਉਸ ਤਾਕਤ ਨੂੰ ਬਾਣੀ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿਤੇ ਅਮਰ ਹੁਕਮ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਾਲਸ ਦੈਟ ਪਾਵਰ ਐਸ ਦਾ ਬਾਣੀ ਐਟ ਸਮ ਪਲੇਸਿਸ ਹੀ ਈਵਨ ਕਾਲਸ ਦੈਟ ਪਾਵਰ ਐਸ ਦਾ ਅਮਰ ਹੁਕਮ
ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਅੰਤਰ ਜੋਤ ਨਿਰੰਤਰ ਬਾਣੀ, ਸਾਡੇ ਸਭ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਦਿਨ ਰਾਤ ਇੱਥੇ ਜੋਤ ਜਗ ਰਹੀ ਹੈ, ਉਹਦੇ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਪੈਦਾ ਹੋ ਰਹੀ ਹੈ.
He lovingly says that within yourself there is this light, and from within that light this bani, this sound is coming out.
ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਆਪਾਂ ਇੱਥੋਂ ਰਾਤ ਨੂੰ ਬਸਤੀ ਤੋਂ ਦੂਰ ਚਲੇ ਜਾਈਏ, ਘਰ ਭੁੱਲ ਜਾਈਏ, ਰਾਹ ਭੁੱਲ ਜਾਈਏ, ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਨਾ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਸਾਡਾ ਇਹ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸ਼ਹਿਰ ਹੈ ਕਿਹੜੇ ਤਰਫ ਹੈ, ਉੱਥੇ ਆਪਾਂ ਕੀ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਬੈਠ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਗੌਰ ਨਾਲ, ਆਪਾਂ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਸੁਣਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਕੋਈ ਘੁੱਗੂ ਬੋਲਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕੋਈ ਹੋਰ ਟ੍ਰੇਨ ਦਾ ਖੜਕਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ, ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਸਾਡਾ ਜੋ ਸ਼ਹਿਰ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਕਿਹੜੀ ਤਰਫ ਹੈ. ਔਰ ਰਸਤੇ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਅੰਧੇਰੀ ਰਾਤ ਹੈ, ਝਾੜੀਆਂ ਹਨ, ਟੋਏ ਹਨ, ਵਿੱਚ ਗਿਰਨ ਦਾ ਖਤਰਾ ਹੈ, ਕੰਡੇ ਲੱਗਣ ਦਾ ਖਤਰਾ ਹੈ. ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਅਗਰ ਜੇ ਸਾਡੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਟੌਰਚ ਹੱਥ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ ਤਾਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਆਸਾਨੀ ਨਾਲ ਰਸਤਾ ਦੇਖ ਕੇ ਆਪਣੀ ਬਸਤੀ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ, ਸ਼ਹਿਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ. ਸਾਨੂੰ ਕਿਸ ਚੀਜ਼ ਤੋਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਿਆ? ਭੁੱਲਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ, ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਤੋਂ. ਔਰ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਨੂੰ ਦੇਖ ਕੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਆਪਦਾ ਡਾਇਰੈਕਸ਼ਨ ਕਾਇਮ ਕੀਤਾ ਕਿ ਸਾਡਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸ਼ਹਿਰ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਕਿਹੜੀ ਤਰਫ ਹੈ. ਉਹ ਪ੍ਰਕਾਸ਼ ਦੇ ਜ਼ਰੀਏ ਅਸੀਂ ਉੱਚੀ ਨੀਵੀਂ ਜਗ੍ਹਾ ਦੇਖ ਕੇ ਔਰ ਆਪਣੇ ਸਫ਼ਰ ਨੂੰ ਆਸਾਨ ਬਣਾ ਲਿਆ. ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਵੀ ਰੱਖੀ ਹੈ, ਪ੍ਰਕਾਸ਼ ਵੀ ਰੱਖਿਆ ਹੋਇਆ ਹੈ. ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਸਾਡੀ ਦੇਖਣ ਵਾਲੀ ਸ਼ਕਤੀ ਹੈ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਨਿਰਤ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਸੁਣਨ ਵਾਲੀ ਸ਼ਕਤੀ ਨੂੰ ਸੁਰਤ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ.
ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਲਾਈਕ ਸਪੋਜ਼ ਇਨ ਦੀ ਈਵਨਿੰਗ ਵੀ ਲੂਜ਼ ਅਵਰ ਵੇ ਐਂਡ ਗੋ ਫਾਰ ਅਵੇ ਫਰੋਮ ਦੀ ਹੈਬੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ, ਐਂਡ ਸਪੋਜ਼ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਸਟਕ ਇਨ ਦ ਡਾਰਕਨੈਸ ਐਂਡ ਵੀ ਡੋ ਨਾਟ ਨੋ ਵੇਅਰ ਟੂ ਗੋ, ਵਾਟ ਵੀ ਵਿਲ ਡੂ, ਹਾਊ ਵੀ ਵਿਲ ਫਾਈਂਡ ਅਵਰ ਹੋਮ, ਐਂਡ ਹਾਊ ਵੀ ਵਿਲ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਇਨ ਵਿਚ ਡਿਰੈਕਸ਼ਨ ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਗੋ. ਵਾਟ ਵੀ ਯੂਜਲੀ ਡੂ ਇਜ਼ ਵੀ ਜਸਟ ਸਿਟ ਡਾਊਨ ਦੇਅਰ ਕੁਆਇਟਲੀ ਐਂਡ ਵੀ ਟ੍ਰਾਈ ਟੂ ਲਿਸਨ ਟੂ ਸਮ ਸਾਊਂਡ, ਸਮਵੇਅਰ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਸਮ ਐਨੀਮਲ, ਸਮ ਬਰਡ ਵਿਚ ਇਜ਼ ਮੇਕਿੰਗ ਦ ਨੋਇਜ਼, ਔਰ ਵੀ ਲੁੱਕ ਫਾਰ ਦ ਸਾਊਂਡ ਆਫ ਦ ਟ੍ਰੇਨ ਔਰ ਦ ਬੱਸ ਔਰ ਸਮਥਿੰਗ ਲਾਈਕ ਦੈਟ, ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨ ਵੀ ਹੀਅਰ ਐਨੀ ਸਾਊਂਡ ਲਾਈਕ ਦੈਟ ਦੈਨ ਵੀ ਡਿਟਰਮਿਨ ਅਵਰ ਡਿਰੈਕਸ਼ਨ ਐਂਡ ਦੈਨ ਵੀ ਸਟਾਰਟ ਗੋਇੰਗ ਔਰ ਮੂਵਿੰਗ ਇਨ ਦੈਟ ਡਿਰੈਕਸ਼ਨ. Now you know that in the darkness you cannot see anything, and on the way there may be pitfalls and there may be some ups and downs and there may be some bushes. You do not know that which thing will stop you. So at that time if you had some source of light, say like a battery or something like that, then it will become easier for you to find your way. Very easily using that light and the sound you can determine your direction and you can come back to your home. So it is the same. We do not know that in which direction we have to go. God Almighty has kept the light as well as sound within us, and using the sound and the light we can easily trace our home, we can easily trace our way back to the real home. The faculty through which we can see the things is called the nirat, and the faculty through which we can hear the inner things is called the surat. So God Almighty has kept both the nirat and surat within us, and the masters teach us how to use that in order to get back to our home.
ਪਵਿੱਤ ਪਾਵਨ ਸੀ ਜਨ ਨਿਰਮਲ ਹਰ ਕੇ ਨਾਮ ਸਮਾਏ, ਹਰ ਮੰਦਰ ਹਰ ਕਾ ਹਾਟ ਹੈ, ਰੱਖਿਆ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਸੰਵਾਰ ਇਸ ਵਿੱਚ ਸੌਦਾ ਇੱਕ ਨਾਮ, ਗੁਰਮੁਖ ਲੈਣ ਸਵਾਰ, ਹਰ ਮੰਦਰ ਮੈਂ ਮਨ ਲੋਟ ਹੈ, ਮੋਹਿਆ ਦੂਜੇ ਪਾਰਸ ਪੇਟੇ ਕੰਚਨ ਪਿਆ, ਕੀਮਤ ਕਹੀ ਨਾ ਜਾਏ, ਹਰ ਮੰਦਰ ਮੈਂ ਹਰ ਵਸੇ, ਸਰਬ ਨਿਰੰਤਰ ਨਾਨਕ ਗੁਰਮੁਖ ਬਣ ਜੀਏ, ਸੱਚਾ ਸੌਦਾ ਹੋ.
ਗੁਰੂ ਅਮਰਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਨੇ ਛੋਟੇ ਜਿਹੇ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਦੱਸਤਾ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਸਾਡੀ ਦੇਹ ਔਰ ਵਜੂਦ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ। ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਖੋਜਣ ਦੀ ਜੋ ਯੁਗਤੀ ਹੈ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਆਪਣੇ ਪਿਆਰੇ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਭੇਜਿਆ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵੈਰੀ ਬਰੀਫ ਹਿਮ ਗੁਰੂ ਅਮਰਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਲਿਵਿੰਗਲੀ ਐਕਸਪਲੇਨ ਟੂ ਅਸ ਗੋਡ ਆਲ ਮਾਈਟੀ ਇਜ਼ ਪ੍ਰੈਜ਼ੈਂਟ ਵਿਦ ਇਨ ਅਵਰ ਐਗਜ਼ਿਸਟੈਂਸ ਵਿਦ ਇਨ ਅਵਰ ਹਿਊਮਨ ਬਾਡੀ ਐਂਡ ਹਾਊ ਟੂ ਫਾਈਂਡ ਹਿਮ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਹਿਊਮਨ ਬਾਡੀ ਇਨ ਆਰਡਰ ਟੂ ਟੀਚ ਅਸ ਦੈਟ ਗੋਡ ਆਲ ਮਾਈਟੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਸੈਂਟ ਹਿਸ ਬਿਲੋਵਡ ਸੇਂਟਸ ਐਂਡ ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ।
ਸਾਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਜੋ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦਾ ਜਾਮਾ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਇਹ ਹਰਿਮੰਦਰ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਹੈ, ਇਸ ਤੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਪੂਰਾ ਫਾਇਦਾ ਉਠਾਈਏ, ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਭਗਤੀ ਕਰੀਏ, ਆਪਣੇ ਜੀਵਨ ਨੂੰ ਸਫਲ ਬਣਾਈਏ।
ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁਡ ਮੇਕ ਦ ਬੈਸਟ ਯੂਜ਼ ਆਫ ਦਿਸ ਹਿਊਮਨ ਬਾਡੀ ਵਿਚ ਇਨ ਫੈਕਟ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਟੈਂਪਲ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਵਿਚ ਗੋਡ ਆਲ ਮਾਈਟੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਗਿਵਨ ਟੂ ਅਸ ਬਾਈ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ। ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁਡ ਮੇਕ ਅਵਰ ਲਾਈਫ ਸਕਸੈਸਫੁਲ।
ਅਸੀਂ ਆਤਮਾ ਕਰਕੇ, ਆਤਮਾ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਅੰਸ਼ ਹੈ, ਸਾਰੇ ਭੈਣ ਭਰਾ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ। ਸੋ ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਸਭ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਪਿਆਰ ਬਣਾ ਕੇ ਰੱਖਣਾ ਹੈ, ਸਾਰੇ ਜੀਵਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਬੈਠਾ ਹੈ।
ਵੀ ਆਰ ਦ ਸੋਲਸ ਐਂਡ ਦ ਸੋਲਸ ਆਰ ਆਫ ਦ ਸੇਮ ਐਸੈਂਸ ਐਸ ਦੈਟ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ। ਸੋ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਵੀ ਆਲ ਆਰ ਦ ਸੋਲਸ, ਵੀ ਆਰ ਦ ਬ੍ਰਦਰਸ ਐਂਡ ਸਿਸਟਰਸ ਐਂਡ ਗੋਡ ਆਲ ਮਾਈਟੀ ਇਜ਼ ਸਿਟਿੰਗ ਵਿਦ ਇਨ ਆਲ ਆਫ ਅਸ। ਸੋ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵਾਈ ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਬੀ ਇਨ ਹਾਰਮੋਨੀ ਵਿਦ ਈਚ ਅਦਰ ਐਂਡ ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਮੇਨਟੇਨ ਲਵ ਐਂਡ ਰਿਸਪੈਕਟ ਫਾਰ ਈਚ ਅਦਰ।
ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀ ਕਿ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਲੋਕ ਇਹ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਅਸੀਂ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨਾਲ ਤਾਂ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨਾਲ ਪਿਆਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਹੁਣ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਆਦਮੀ ਆਦਮੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਤਾਂ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦੇ, ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਰੋਜ਼ ਉਹ ਦੇਖਦੇ ਹੈ, ਮਿਲਦੇ ਹੈ, ਜਿਹੜੇ ਹਮਸਾਏ ਹੈ, ਜਿਹੜਾ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇਖਿਆ ਨੀਗਾ ਉਹਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਉਹ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਪਿਆਰ ਕਰ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੈ।
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਐਵਰੀਵਨ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਹੀ ਲਵਸ ਗੋਡ, ਬਟ ਇਫ ਹੀ ਡਜ਼ਨਟ ਲਵ ਦ ਹਿਊਮਨ ਬੀਇੰਗ ਹੂਮ ਹੀ ਸੀਜ਼ ਐਵਰੀਵਨ ਐਂਡ ਵਿਦ ਹੂਮ ਹੀ ਕੈਨ ਰਿਲੇਟ ਵੈਰੀ ਈਜ਼ੀਲੀ, ਇਫ ਯੂ ਕੈਨੋਟ ਲਵ ਦ ਹਿਊਮਨ ਬੀਇੰਗਸ, ਹਾਊ ਕੈਨ ਯੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਯੂ ਲਵ ਗੋਡ ਹੂਮ ਯੂ ਹੈਵ ਨੈਵਰ ਸੀਨ।
ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਦਾ ਹੀ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਰਹੇ ਏਕ ਬਣੋ, ਨੇਕ ਬਣੋ। ਅਸੀਂ ਏਕ ਤਾਂ ਹੀ ਬਣ ਸਕਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਜੇ ਇੱਕ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਭਗਤੀ ਕਰੀਏ, ਨੇਕ ਅਸੀਂ ਤਦ ਹੀ ਬਣ ਸਕਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਜੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਹਰ ਇੱਕ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਬੈਠਾ ਦੇਖੀਏ, ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦਾ ਬੱਚਾ ਸਮਝੀਏ।
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਡੂ ਗੁੱਡ ਐਂਡ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਬੀ ਵਨ। ਵੀ ਕੈਨ ਡੂ ਗੁੱਡ ਓਨਲੀ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਡੂ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਐਂਡ ਵੀ ਕੈਨ ਬੀ ਵਨ ਓਨਲੀ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਸੀ ਦ ਪ੍ਰੈਜ਼ੈਂਸ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਆਲ ਮਾਈਟੀ ਵਿਦ ਇਨ ਆਲ ਆਫ ਅਸ। And only when we see that the same God, our Father, is residing within all of us.
We will conclude with Sanchi's Bhajan on page 215. I.G. Terde Dardate Bikardi. The beggars have come to your door. Please give alms. True is your court where one gets the true darshan. There one gets true love and gets across on the true raft. He came as the benefactor. Please give alms. Your glory is unique. You are the protector of the suffering ones. You are the gardener of the soul's garden. Please come and cut the snare of Yama. Your greatness is unique. Please give alms. Remove the disease of egoism. Show us the radiant glimpse. Make us hear the true Shabd. Give us the alms of Nam. Show us the unique glimpse. Please give alms. No means are of any help in the paraphernalia of this world. Of what status was Ajayb? It was Kripal who gave support. Please cut our disease. Please give alms. The beggars have come to your door. Please give alms.
Aaye ji tere darte bhikari ke paavo, aaye ji tere darte bhikari ke paavo, tera darbar sacha hove दीदार सच्चा मिलदा है प्यार सच्चा मेरा है पार सच्चा तेरा दरबार सच्चा मिलदा है प्यार सच्चा मेरा है पार सच्चा आओ बन के उपकार के रे पावो आए जी तेरे अरे ते बिकारी के रे पावो आए जी तेरे दारे ते बिकारी के रे पावो तेरी है शान निराली दुखिया दातू है वाली रूहा दे बागदा माली कत देवो आजम जाली तेरी है शान निराली दुखिया दातू है वाली रूहा दे बागदा माली कत देवो आजम जाली तेरी मेहमानी आरी के रे पावो आए जी तेरे दारे ते भिखारी के रे पावो आए जी तेरे ते भिखारी के रे पावो हो में दारोग हतावो नूरी जो जालक दिखावो सच्चा जो शब्द सुनावो नामादि के रे पावो हो में दारोग हतावो नूरी जो जालक दिखावो सच्चा जो शब्द सुनावो नामादि के रे पावो देवो जालक नियारी के रे पावो आए जी तेरे भिखारी के रे पावो दुनिया ते देख पसारा चलदा ना कोई चारा अजायब सी कौन बिचारा दीता किरपाल सहारा दुनिया दा देख पसारा चलदा ना कोई चारा अजायब सी कौन विचारा दीता किरपाल सहारा सादई कत तो बीमारी के रे पावो आए जी तेरे दारे ते भी का te vikari kere pavo.
The beggars have come to your door. Please give alms. May God bless us all.